Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is my annual back-to-school program, in which I critique the current state-run monopoly on education and its outlawing of the teaching of Christianity. The ungodly in our country have been very successful at walling off themselves and their children from the teaching of Christ and securing for themselves freedom from religion. And as our country returns toward paganism, our federal government has pursued the same policies of persecution against Christians as the ancient Roman emperors. In AD 361, the Roman Emperor Julian decreed that all state schools are to be under the direction of the heathen, and Christians are prohibited from teaching their doctrines. And that same decree is being enforced today. But under the legal guise of fairness and separation of church and state. Now today I want to focus on one aspect of the government school problem, and that is the war on school choice. Not only are many people in government intent on maintaining a secular public education, they also want to shut down the school choice movement for two main reasons. First, the teacher unions are greedy for money and want all education dollars to go toward government schools. Second, an ideological desire to control education. Secular humanists cannot have competition or dissent if they're to control the youth. Students can't have a Christian alternative, and secularists need the advantage of a monopoly on education. Therefore, Christian private education must be suppressed or stopped, or at least made difficult or impossible for most people. As John Dunphy wrote in the magazine called The Humanist, humankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as the proselytizers of a new faith. These teachers must embody the same selfless dedication as the most rabid fundamentalist preachers, for they will be ministers of another sort, utilizing a classroom instead of the pulpit to convey humanist values in whatever subject they teach, regardless of education level. The classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and the new. The rotting corpse of Christianity, together with its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism. So this is the ideological reason for the left's insistence that school choice be shut down. When the far-left mayor of New York, de Blasio, took office, one of his first acts was to cut funding to the charter schools in New York City. Why? The parents loved them, the students were doing well, because the left believes that only the state should control education. And they believe this because they have a humanistic ideological agenda. The humanists know that the best thing they ever did to secularize America and get rid of Christianity was to take over the public school system. And they don't want to lose that. Don't underestimate or downplay the left's goal to eliminate what remains of private education. It is the one thing that still stands in the way of their goal. 10% of the children in America attend private schools. 80% of those are religious schools. 3.4% of the children in America are homeschooled. That is 1.7 million children. And that is a huge army of people who tend to be politically and morally conservative and Christian. Those children cannot be indoctrinated or controlled by the state. And that's a problem for the leftist agenda. Well, let's begin by looking at a biblical example of the world's intolerance toward righteousness in education. intolerance toward those who want a better, godly education. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel and his three friends were forced into the Babylonian educational system in order to socialize these young men into the Babylonian culture. Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, to teach the youths all of the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. But Daniel and his friends would not violate the Old Testament dietary laws. And that greatly enraged the Babylonian court and got these young Jewish boys into trouble. But did you ever ask yourself why? Why was it so important for Babylon that everyone ate the same food? And it really wasn't just about the food. It was about an intolerance for diversity in education. Because allowing educational freedom meant the leaders could not control the minds of the young people to believe as they wanted them to believe. 1938, the practice of homeschooling was outlawed in Germany by Adolf Hitler. Why? Because Hitler's Third Reich wanted to indoctrinate young people in the ideology of Nazism. And this was the motive of ancient Babylon, and this has been the motive of secularists ever since. Recently, the German Supreme Court ruled that the purpose for its continual ban on homeschooling is to, quote, counteract the development of religious and philosophically motivated parallel societies. In other words, there must be conformity to the world system as it stands. Like in the book Pilgrim's Progress, when Pilgrim decided to leave the city of destruction and head for the celestial city, Apollyon, the lord of the city of destruction, stood in Christian's way and stated that Christian does not have the right to leave his kingdom and his control, and that he doesn't lose one of his citizens without a fight. Daniel 1 records for us the ideology of Babylon, and Babylon is a spiritual type of the world. And the agenda of Babylon will arise in the last days. Revelation 17:5. The kingdom of the Antichrist is described as spiritual Babylon. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. I would like to talk more about the ideology of those opposing the school choice movement. But first, some more about what's happening to demonstrate that there is a war on school choice. Overall, the school choice movement has taken a lot of ground over the last 10 years. That's why the left is alarmed. The number of private school choice programs have tripled. There are now 51 programs in 24 states. There are now 300,000 students receiving some sort of state aid to private school. In 2002, there was a significant Supreme Court ruling in favor of school choice that set the stage for school choice action on the state level. In Zelman versus Simon Harris, the court ruled that school vouchers do not violate the First Amendment Establishment Clause when vouchers are neutral in respect to religion. When aid goes to the parents, even though it comes from the public treasury, it's not establishing religion because it's the parents' choice. For parents to use a school voucher to buy religious education for their children is no different than a person who holds a Bible study in his home even though he's receiving Section 8 housing dollars, or a person using food stamps to buy matzahs for the Passover. So this was a great Supreme Court ruling. The other positive ruling was in 2011 in Arizona Christian School Tuition Association versus Wynn. And in that case, the courts ruled that tax credits are not public money. Money does not become public money until it's in the tax collector's hands. Therefore, tax credits for private education do not constitute the state's establishment of religion. Both of these cases were huge defeats for public school advocates. And you might be wondering why the liberal court ruled in favor of school choice. Well, in both cases, it was a 5-4 decision with Kennedy being the swing vote. If the Supreme Court gets another liberal judge, all this may be reversed in upcoming cases. So, Since the federal courts have ruled in favor of school choice, and the public is generally in favor of school choice, the opponents of school choice have resorted to filing suit in liberal state courts. Those opponents would include teacher unions, the ACLU, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're all constantly filing lawsuits against school choice programs. And they're using three tactics on the state level. First, Blaine Amendments in state constitutions. In the 1880s, Senator James Blaine from Maine went on a campaign to prevent public money from going to Catholic schools. He was not successful on the federal level, but 37 states adopted Blaine Amendments to their constitutions, which prohibited school taxes to be used for private schools. The amendment reads, "No state shall make any law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, and no money raised by taxation in any state for the support of public schools or derived from any public funding, nor any public lands devoted thereto, shall ever be under the control of any religious sect, nor shall any money so raised or lands so devoted be divided between religious sects or denominations." And this amendment was duplicated and put into many state constitutions, especially in Western states, because Blaine made this amendment a prerequisite for statehood. James Blaine was a very foolish, unprincipled senator who set a bad precedent. The Colorado Supreme Court recently overturned their state's new voucher system, and the reason? Colorado has a Blaine Amendment in its constitution. However, in March, the Alabama Supreme Court upheld the state's tax credit scholarship program as constitutional, even though Alabama has a Blaine Amendment. The courts, in essence, overturned the legality of the state's Blaine Amendment, given the 2002 Supreme Court ruling in Zelman versus Simon Harris. And school choice advocates have been using this ruling to overturn Blaine Amendments in many constitutions. This summer, Nevada became the first state in the nation to pass a law allowing any parent, regardless of income, to receive state funding to put a child in private school. Every child in Nevada is given a yearly $5,000 educational account to be used for whatever education the parents choose. Opponents say this violates the state's Blaine Amendment. They're going to challenge it in court. Now, the second tactic used by the left is uniformity clauses. Many states mandate that education must be uniform. That is, one school should not have greater funding or privilege than any other school. Therefore, the left is claiming that to divert funds to private schools would mean education is no longer uniform. For uniformity is interpreted to mean that all schools must teach the same curriculum, which means no private schools are allowed. And the tactic is to use the 10th Amendment Equal Protection Law to require equality in all schools, outlawing differences in diversity, and hence shutting down private education. And this gives the state the exclusive right to education. For the left claims that state education makes all equal. Alabama's school choice program was challenged in the courts because opponents claimed that these private schools were not able to rescue all children from failing schools. Unfortunately, the federal judge ruled against the challenge, stating that what these opponents wanted was, in effect, equally bad education for all. The third tactic is segregation, claiming that private schools will create more racism and more segregation. The Department of Justice, under Eric Holder, has been using this approach. For some reason, the DOJ has been on a crusade against school choice at the state level. Someone is ordering the DOJ to stop school choice. In 2013, the Department of Justice ruled against Louisiana's voucher law, saying that it thwarted the government's effort to desegregate public schools. The feds claimed that there were two schools whose racial identity was changed because of the vouchers. They stated that one school lost 6 white students in a predominantly black school district. Now, this was silly because 85% of the vouchers were going to black students so that they could attend private schools, which are predominantly populated with white children. Louisiana showed that the vouchers actually produced more desegregation, and the DOJ had to back down. But notice the opponents are trying to shut down or even slow down school choice using any conceivable tactic. Remember, teacher unions helped to fund the Democratic Party, and school choice threatens to move dollars out of public schools and hence less money for teacher unions. They can't have a nation of private schools, and they want to nip it in the bud early. Oh, by the way, there is a fourth tactic that the left is using to shut down school choice, and that's regulation, requiring private schools to fund all sorts of special need programs and facilities. So that's what's happening in the war on school choice. But let's get back to the ideology. Why is the left fighting against school choice? In February of this year, President Obama visited Ireland. In a town hall meeting in Belfast, he revealed his reason for opposing school choice. And his reason is the same reason used by the left. He likened school choice to unfair segregation. The president said, if Catholics have their schools and buildings, and Protestants have theirs, if we can't see ourselves in one another, if fear or resentment are allowed to harden, that encourages division. It discourages cooperation. So you see the argument here. School choice means division, and that's bad for society. And it's true, division can be bad. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? And one of the strengths of the U.S. has been its melting pot unity. But as I've said many times before, the lie of Satan is not to directly violate the law of God, but to violate the law of God by inverting the hierarchy of God's law. Like the Pharisees who violated the law of God by neglecting the weightier matters of the law, by taking the less important laws of God and putting them above the more important laws of God. The president's desire for unity sounds righteous, and unity is a biblical principle. But there is a biblical law that is more important than unity, and that's truth. So that if a denomination teaches false doctrine, the believer must separate from that denomination. Is he violating the law of God concerning let there be no division? No, he's obeying the higher law of God that requires us to separate from evil and false teaching. The president is putting unity above truth. And if opposition to school choice is all about maintaining social unity, why does this unity favor the secular, ungodly education and not unity under Christian education? If we all have to be unified, why does it have to be under no God rather than under God? Because the real motive working behind the scenes is not unity. It's a bias toward humanism, a belief that secular humanism is truth and Christianity is non-truth. So they grab at the unity argument, but it's a front. Many of them may actually sincerely believe it's all about unity, but even they are unaware that they're guided by a deeper motive. And I will give you 3 deeper motives. First, as I said, a heart that favors secularism and despises Christian truth. Second, a greed for education dollars. And third, power or control. In the novel 1984, the question is, why does Big Brother do what it does? Main character Winston is involved in a search to find out why the Ministry of Truth, why the Ministry of Plenty, why the Ministry of Love does what it does. What is the purpose of the totalitarian state? Do they do what they do because it's more efficient economically? Is it because it's more fair? That's what's claimed. But Winston realizes in practice, the Big Brother totalitarian state is not more efficient and it's not more fair. At the end of the novel, the answer finally comes. It's about power for the elite. Is that biblical? Isaiah 14, 14. I will make myself like the Most High. The fallen, depraved human heart feeds on the thrill of lording over other people. Doesn't matter if it's not economically efficient. It doesn't matter if it's unjust. Doesn't matter if it's unpopular. It doesn't matter if it results in decline and collapse. It doesn't even matter if it doesn't make sense. Control over others feeds the ego in a way nothing else can. And we who are Christians, since we don't operate on that motive, often don't understand it or see it in others. We naively think their external excuses are the real reason. But the real reason is personal freedom from God, Psalm chapter 2, and the desire for personal power over others. So the excuse we've been hearing, and we will be hearing, to oppose school choice is equal treatment, the 10th Amendment. School choice must be stopped because it's unfair. School choice means children will be able to go to different schools, causing differences. And in today's secular thought, differences are always wrong. Everything must be the same. Everything must be equal. And therefore, by extension, all schools need to be public schools. Otherwise, there's the risk of non-equal treatment. Notice that the 10th Amendment and equal treatment under law was also the justification for the Supreme Court's legalization of homosexual marriage. The way that evil justifies itself is to use the principle of equality to demand that evil has an equal footing with righteousness, even a more favorable status. After all, everyone's in favor of equality, right? You wouldn't want to be treated unequally. So therefore, you must let that which is perverted be given equal place in society. Well, the same deceptive use of equality is being used to shut down school choice and Christian education. They are calling righteousness in education discrimination. Because Christian education makes unbelievers different or unequal with Christians. And that cannot be tolerated. There must be shared misery. All groups must reap the wages of the other group's sin and apostasy. This is an ethic that is conceived in hell, where truth and goodness are considered unfair, where moral superiority is considered unfair. And if differences can be considered unfair, then all moral excellence can be suppressed. Is this not the devil's philosophy? A resentment and suppression of any kind of moral goodness in others. This is the ethic that motivated Cain to kill his brother Abel. Because God accepted Abel's offering and did not accept Cain's. But let me say again, the equality argument is a front for a deeper motive. A desire for power over others, a freedom from God, and additionally, a persecution of the righteous. They are grabbing at whatever value they can to justify their control over education. And with this, I'll conclude. The root problem again comes down to who is Lord, Jesus Christ, or man and Satan. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. To listen to this program again or other past programs, go to our website, godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can send me an email with questions, comments, insights. I would love to hear from you. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people discern the true issues and motives behind all that we see in the world. Help us to better communicate to the world these things so that the deception of evil would be exposed and that more souls would come to the truth. For the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, amen.